long hard days. They don't say God's changed my ways, changed my ways, those evil ways. So I set out across that way, strike them down to make them pay and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't my evil way.
Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, July 29th, 2019. In 1790, Edmund Burke's Reflections on the Revolution in France was published, and in it he wrote, "People will not look forward to posterity who never look backward to their ancestors." I think that kind of sums it up. Anyway, back to the phones we go. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Yeah.
Good morning, Fred.
I sure missed you.
I missed you too, Fred.
Okay, this is not a really an important call or anything like that, but 76 years ago, when I was 6 and my brother was 5, my family moved to San Antonio, Texas, for 2 years. And my aunt come down from Iowa, and my mother and my aunt took my brother and I to Breckenridge Park. And we rode the elephants once, and then we bawled and raised heck and yelling and bawling and all that, and Mom let us ride the elephants a second time. And then my brother and I started bawling and hollering and causing a lot of trouble, and Mom took us into the ladies' restroom and put us on a table and spanked our backside. And there was another lady in there, and she said to my mother, "Ma'am, that is refreshing." So what that meant is, you know, we were getting our comeuppance, and we lived through it, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into this and any length of time, but in the future I'm going to be on it. Now, save the planet. Sunday law, a day of rest to save the planet, will be made mandatory. Now, I'm going to cover this in the future, but Chris, that's all I got to say today. Welcome back. I miss you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fred. I miss you, too. And I'm glad, again, grateful that we have this opportunity, and so glad that I'm fortunate and privileged to have the opportunity to host and that we can have this discussion here. So very, very glad to be back too. So you know, in contrast to the spanking, and it is, you know, I know some moms in particular, you know, might find it horrifying, you know, when in Proverbs it says, you know, though you beat them, they will not die. And I'm not talking about child abuse, but there is something, it's an interesting connection between a young person's backside and their feet being firmly planted on the ground. And some of us have can recall those experiences. I've talked about one or two of mine in particular, but in contrast now, I mean, I've witnessed recently a young lady, I'll say, very young, screaming at her mom, "You're a liar," repeatedly. Man, I'll tell you what, the days, you know, a time was, you'd get such a whooping for that, probably your mouth washed out with soap too. And I dare say it would curb that behavior. And now, what happens? What is the message if that is allowed to persist? What is the message? Is that? And I'm not, you know, it's difficult. I understand. As parents, you know, if you actually try to discipline your child now, you might be a domestic terrorist and someone's going to call Homeland Security. That's the America we live in. I understand it's difficult. But what is the message? You know, in this Skinner box that we live in, the operant conditioning nonsense, what is the operant conditioning when that is allowed to persist? Not that operant conditioning should be a thing. We should engage in it. But I'm just saying, thinking in those terms, what does that produce? And the other point that Fred made, I recently had the opportunity to put my hands on a copy, my copy that had been in hiding for sequestration for a long time of Gary Kaw's book, which is, gosh, now what? Now I can't think of the title. The religion one. Where is it? Don't have it handy at the moment, but no. Where in the world is it? It's not the New World Religion. En route to global occupation, I think. I think that's it. Anyway, I believe it's that one. But the point is, I mean, I've mentioned it before. I went through, there was a period, I don't know, I think 10 years ago or so, where we went through, speaking of history, if that's the title I'm thinking of, we went through sort of an extended review of it and its contents and how there was a period of leavening in the Christian faith, if you will, through the 19th century in particular. And folks like Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, which was a character, my French is not good, I admit, but you know, he was a character that I was trying to think of recently. He was a particularly influential fellow, and you have folks like that who, you know, operate at the stratospheric sort of 30,000 foot level, influencing society in ways that most people, the common folk, you know, we common folk don't realize. And then, you know, you have Aldous Huxley's infamous quote, you know, "The charm of history and its enigmatic lesson consists in the fact that from age to age, nothing changes and yet everything is completely different." Diabolical quotes like that. Anyway, so, you know, maybe we'll come back to that. Speaking of Earth Day and, you know, save the planet nonsense, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin is an interesting study, and Gary Kaw's En route to global occupation, I think, is the book, if memory serves. Anyway, whichever title it is, I'm pretty sure it's that one. I will come back to it soon. Anyway, back to the phones. Jim in New York, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jim.
Regarding what you just said about Aldous Huxley, about nothing changes, I want to point out something. I may have pointed it out on your show, and I think it was on somebody else's, that one of the first instances of technology in history was the ability to make bricks from mud, which led to the Tower of Babel.
Genesis 11.
Yes, and the Tower of Babel, the ethos behind that was people united against God.
Mm-hmm.
They were waging war. They said, "We got bricks. Oh man, we are something." It's just like people saying, "We can control the weather because of our technology." Like Aldous Huxley said, the same. It's the same thing, just on a different with different technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to chime in also on discipline of children. The statement in Proverbs, in the actual original Hebrew, is not what people commonly say. People say he who spares the rod spoils his child. It actually says he who spares the rod hates his child.
Right.
Which is very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I can remember when I was born here in Brooklyn, but I grew up actually in Central Florida. I attended junior high school, elementary and high school, and the University of Florida in Gainesville. So I actually grew up in Central Florida, in Orlando, the Orlando area. And that was, we moved down there in the 50s, like in 57. And I attended the Robert E. Lee Junior High School, which has recently had its name changed another name that doesn't mention his name because of all this hullabaloo about statues and everything. But anyhow, when I attended Robert Lee Junior High School, I got into a small scuffle with a guy in phys ed class because in the locker room after phys ed class when we were changing, there was an orange juice machine that gave out these half pints of orange juice for a dime, you know, these little cardboard things, and.
Uh-huh.
Some guy, I don't know what he did. He butted in front of me, and he knocked my dime out of my hand, and we got some kind of a little tussle there. And so they brought us both into the principal's office. And he was a very beloved man, this principal. In fact, there were schools that have been named after him after he died. Anyhow, so the principal he took out a paddle with holes in it to make it even more painful, and he started whacking away. He whacked away.
Mm-hmm.
There's a principal of junior high school. Who knows what would happen if somebody did that?
Oh, man. And I remember, absolutely, I remember more than one school that I attended. Same thing. You know, the paddle was usually, at that point, it was not used so much as it was hung above that person behind them on the wall as, you know, mental... you know, the threat of the thing being worse than the thing often. I remember those, what do you call it? Illustrations, I guess. And sometimes it was used. So, yeah, absolutely. And even to hang it on the wall these days, you know, you'd probably lose your career.
Yeah, and I had another teacher also in junior high school. He had a big stick, like a cane with a knobby head on it, and he called it his ugly stick. And he threatened people.
Mm-hmm.
He never actually used it. He called it his ugly stick. Now, with
regard
to the thing about global warming and weather control and earthquakes, I'm just going to say, I know there are a lot of people, listeners and hosts here, who they don't understand what the Talmud is exactly. They take certain quotes, but I want to quote something from the Talmud that affects everybody. And it says, that the last straw, I may have said this before also, the last straw for the great flood of Noah, the last straw after all the corruption on earth, the last straw was marriage contracts for homosexuals. That caused the last straw for the great flood. It says so in the Talmud. And so, to say that we can control calamities is true. But it's not through technology. It's not through through these carbon taxes. It's through a return to morality, which seems at this point to be pretty hard to do.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all I had to say for today. And again, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. And, you know, like Fred said, I mean, I missed you too, Jim. So, and everybody, I really appreciate this opportunity for us to gather, to assemble ourselves together. Thanks, Jim. Real quick, a momentary aside. So this from another listener. Great quote from the opening of the Jamestown Exposition, Teddy Roosevelt talking, 1907, April 26, 1907. And you gotta read the rest of it, but it's interesting, you know. Am I a fan of Teddy Roosevelt? Well, sometimes. But, you know, these words are fitting, apropos in today's discussion. So, again, you know, it feels good if you do something, do it with excellence in mind. And this makes me want to read, where is that? I thought I had a copy handy. Talked about As a Man Thinketh. Chapter 4 in particular, maybe putting these two things together. Can I do that real fast? Let's see. Chapter 4, Thought and Purpose. Effect of Thought on Purpose. Or Thought and Purpose. No. Yeah. Effects of Thought on Circumstance. I thought that's where we were. Anyway, Thought and Purpose. Until thought is linked with purpose, there is no intelligent accomplishment. With the majority, the bark of thought is allowed to drift upon the ocean of life. As a physically weak man can make himself strong by careful and patient training, so the man of weak thoughts can make them strong by exercising himself in right thinking. To put away aimlessness and weakness and to begin to think with purpose is to enter the ranks of those strong ones who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment, who make all conditions serve them, and who think strongly, attempt fearlessly, and accomplish masterfully. Which, you know, echoes some of Teddy Roosevelt's sentiments, speaking of him. But that's not the section that I'm thinking of, or the excerpt that I'm thinking of, I should say. Where is that? Thought and Purpose. They who have no central purpose in their life fall an easy prey to worries, petty worries, I believe it was, fears, troubles, and self-pityings, all of which are indicators of weakness, which lead just as surely as deliberately planned sins, though by a different route, to failure, unhappiness, and loss, for weakness cannot persist in a power-evolving universe. Man should conceive of a legitimate purpose in his heart and set out to accomplish it. He should make this purpose the centralizing point of his thoughts. It may take the form of a spiritual ideal, or may be a worldly object according to his nature of the time being. But whichever it is, he should steadily focus his thought forces upon the object which he has set before him. He should make this purpose his supreme duty. He should devote himself to its attainment, not allowing his thoughts to wander away to ephemeral fancies, longings, and imaginings. This is the royal road to self-control and true concentration of thought. Even if he fails again and again to accomplish his purpose, as he necessarily must until weakness is overcome, strength of character gained will be the measure of his true success. Stick around, we'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a
welcome back.
A
return to morality, indeed. To echo Jim's point, you know, I usually say virtue, morality, and religion in the fashion the founding fathers advocated. Again, Benjamin Franklin, only virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. And you can come at this from a variety of angles, but the point is always the same. So speaking of the point, to conclude and then back to the phones, just this is sort of an extended thing, but I'll do it anyway. So from As a Man Thinketh, Thought and Purpose is actually Effective Thought on Circumstances that I'm headed to. But so James Allen wrote, a man should conceive of a legitimate purpose in his heart and set out to accomplish it. This is the real road to self-control and true concentration of thought. Self-control, imagine. And so, you know, I've said it before, you think of these young people that are being trained to believe that whatever they want to do, whatever sort of misbehavior, is perfectly fine and acceptable. And, you know, participation trophies are reality and life works this way. It is all self-destructive in layers of ways, and some I'll get to in a second. But clearly, you know, the analogy that I've used before, clearly that's not healthy. It's not good for them and their long-term growth and development. It will lead to a life of self-destructive behavior and so on and so forth, which gets back to some of the things that Aaron and Melissa Dykes have talked about with regard to the CIA and creating this sort of latent and perpetual self-loathing. I've heard several people in a few different generations recently talk about how they just don't feel good about themselves in a number of different ways. And it's men, it's women, it's different generations. And I don't think that's by accident. That's a different discussion. Anyway, this kind of what we're talking about here is one of the big antidotes to that, I think. Virtue, morality, and religion. Self-control. A man should conceive of a legitimate purpose in his heart and set out to accomplish it. This is the royal road to self-control and true concentration of thought. Even if he fails again and again to accomplish his purpose, as he necessarily must until weakness is overcome, the strength of character gained will be the measure of his true success, and this will form a new starting point for future power and triumph. I don't think that's how it's phrased. Is that how it's phrased? Yeah. This is a railroad to self-control and true concentration of thought. Even if he fails again and again to accomplish his purpose, as he necessarily must until weakness is overcome, the strength of character gained will be the measure of his true success, and this will form a new starting point for future power and triumph. I guess that is. Okay. Those who are not prepared for the apprehension of a great purpose should fix the thoughts upon the faultless performance of their duty, no matter how insignificant their task may appear. Again, to me, Ecclesiastes 3:22 comes to mind. Only in this way can the thoughts be gathered and focused, and resolution and energy be developed, which being done, there is nothing which may not be accomplished. But be careful you don't fall prey to that Genesis 11 stuff that Jim was talking about earlier. That kind of hubris gets you in trouble. The weakest soul, knowing its own weakness and believing this truth, that strength can only be developed by effort and practice, will thus believing at once begin to exert itself, and adding effort to effort, patience to patience, and strength to strength will never cease to develop, and will at last grow divinely strong. As a physically weak man can make himself strong by careful and patient training, so the man of weak thoughts can make them strong by exercising himself in right thinking. And learned helplessness is a particular brand of mental laziness, I would say. But I was getting to the effect of thought on circumstances, where James Allen writes, men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. The man who does not shrink from self-crucifixion can never fail to accomplish the object upon which his heart is set. This is as true of earthly as of heavenly things. Even the man whose sole object is to acquire wealth must be prepared to make great personal sacrifices before he can accomplish his object. And how much more so he who would realize a strong, well-poised life. But there's one example I want to talk about. And then Teddy Roosevelt's quote, and then back to the phone. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to try to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. And recently I started having a nagging bicep pain and I couldn't lift weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend of mine, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in the veins and arteries that may cause blockages. After 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and I'm back in the gym full strength. Find out more. Go to angioprim.com, A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim helps promote cardiovascular health. Talk to a trained consultant, or you can call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-8221. That's 877-882-7221. This statement has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's broadcast, this Monday, July 29th, 2019. So quickly, the examples, and then to Teddy Roosevelt. So, again, Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. The man who does not shrink from self-crucifixion can never fail to accomplish the object upon which his heart is set. This is true of earthly as of heavenly things. Even the man whose sole object is to acquire wealth must be prepared to make great personal sacrifices before he can accomplish his object. And how much more so he who would realize a strong and well-poised life. But the examples, two in particular, but there are three examples that James Allen gave. So here is a man who is wretchedly poor. He is extremely anxious that his surroundings and home comforts should be improved, yet all the time he shirks his work and considers he is justified in trying to deceive his employer and those he serves, I would say, his customer, on the ground of the insufficiency of his wages. Such a man does not understand the simplest rudiments of those principles which are the basis of true prosperity, and is not only totally unfitted to rise out of his wretchedness, but is actually attracting to himself a still deeper wretchedness by dwelling in and acting out indolent, deceptive, and unmanly thoughts. These are the folks who say, well, you know, I can make more on welfare anyway. No, you're not making anything. But you're not making anything but your own misery, essentially. And that's the sad reality. Here's a rich man who is the victim of a painful and persistent disease as a result of gluttony. He is willing to give large sums of money to get rid of it, but he will not sacrifice his gluttonous desires. He wants to gratify his taste for rich and unnatural viands and have his health as well. Such a man is totally unfit to have health because he has not yet learned the first principles of a healthy life. And last but not least, here is an employer of labor who adopts crooked measures to avoid paying the regulation wage. You know, and backing up before I skip ahead, you know, you could, I think, a corollary of the, you know, the health issue would be what I've talked about recently, you know, this limited liability culture that we live in, where someone, for example, says, well, I'm just going to run, I'll just jog every day, and without thought of the adverse effects on my body. And when I wear out a knee, I'll just have a knee replacement or a cadaver ligament, you know, to replace my own. Something like that. And that just is not wise and prudent. That's just not a wise and prudent way to live. And then, you know, the next thing you know, you're going to see the latest surgical mesh commercial, you know, class action lawsuit or something like that. So to me, that's a corollary. Anyway, here is an employer of labor who adopts crooked measures to avoid paying the regulation wage and, in the hope of making larger profits, reduces the wages of his workpeople. Such a man is altogether unfitted for prosperity, and when he finds himself bankrupt, both as regards reputation and riches, he blames circumstances, not knowing that he is the sole author of his condition. James Allen adds, I have introduced these three cases merely as illustrative of the truth that man is the causer, though nearly always unconsciously, of his circumstances, and that whilst aiming at a good end, he is continually frustrating its accomplishment by encouraging thoughts and desires which cannot possibly harmonize with that end. So to the last example he gives, to me, I think of Eddie Lampert, you know, Skull and Bones corporate raider Eddie Lampert, and, you know, Kmart, Sears, et al. And, you know, that kind of mindset. And again, you know, his reputation is not disgraced because he's part of a cartel, essentially, that operates in the fashion that Friedrich Hayek wrote in Economic Sophisms, that has created for itself a legal code that authorizes this kind of plunder and a moral code that glorifies it. Now we see it depicted in television, so everyone's doing it and must be okay. So how could a billion Chinese be wrong? So back to Teddy Roosevelt, and then back to the phones. Here's what Teddy Roosevelt, and you gotta read the entire speech at the opening of the Jamestown Exposition, but this excerpt from the end, Compliments of another listener, and thank you for that. So Teddy Roosevelt said, as regards the first set of dangers, and you got to read on the dangers that he outlines, but as regards the first set of dangers, it behooves us to remember that men can never escape being governed. And the Bible says, the Bible puts it this way, you're either a slave to Christ or a slave to sin. Anyway, it behooves us to remember that men can never escape being governed. Either they must govern themselves, or they must submit to being governed by others. If from lawlessness or fickleness, from folly or self-indulgence, they refuse to govern themselves, then most assuredly, in the end, they will have to be governed from the outside. This is why I've said for years, we need to stabilize ourselves lest we, get knowledge up, stabilize ourselves lest we be stabilized and reconstructed in nation building sort of fashion. Continuing, Teddy Roosevelt said, they can prevent the need of government from without only by showing that they possess the power of government from within. A sovereign cannot make excuses for his failures. A sovereign must accept the responsibility for the exercise of the power that inheres in him. And where, as is true in our republic, the people are sovereign, then the people must show a sober understanding and a sane and steadfast purpose if they are to preserve that orderly liberty upon which, as a foundation, every republic must rest. That pretty much says it all, I would say. And so hopefully that makes sense. On that note, back to the phones we go. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, about the spanking, okay? Because mm-hmm. I've seen people err too much and too little. Okay, so there needs to be some balance. It's not really a very simplistic discussion. And the goal mm-hmm. is to get your kid to behave, okay? Hopefully without having to spank. And there is a way to do this, okay? Like I say, the first few days are horrible, okay? I'll be the first to say it. But then when they know, without a doubt, what's going to happen, but you cannot vary. So the thing is, like I say, because I'll never forget this, probably about 35 years ago, I saw in a grocery store a big, rough-looking black woman. She had like a little, about five-month-old baby laying in the little seat with the carry thing. And it was crying and crying and crying. And she took off her slipper and took that slipper and whacked that child in the face. I was horrified, okay, because under no circumstances do you strike a child that young, particularly in the face because it's crying, maybe hungry, okay? So, and I was thinking about intervening, but I could tell this is one woman, I probably would have ended up flat on my back on the floor if I had, okay?
Yeah, she would have been beating you with a slipper in the face next, right?
Probably worse, okay?
Yeah.
And it bothers me to this day, okay? Because you're sitting there and you're trying to assess the situation you want to, but it's like, am I going to come out of this alive? Okay, so mm-hmm. the thing is, so that was one time. On the other hand, I have tried to tell people how to do this, okay? Mothers aggravate me to death. Now, I'll be the first to say this. It's horrible the first few times. I had girls, and I didn't have the problem bad, but toddlers can be incorrigible, and there were times I did need to. And the question I'd ask myself is, okay, I'm making a reasonable request. I've made it several times. I've tried reasoning with them. Nothing is working. At this point, the children are abusing me, the adult, okay? And that's kind of like the question I ask myself. But let me tell you, I would tell them, okay, and what I would have, too, you've seen those big hollow red plastic bats and the big hollow white ball? See, it's for the mm-hmm. for the visual impact, too. It's like that's what I would use, okay, when those big old hollow bats, and I'd come out the back waving the thing. So the thing is, what you do is I'm going to count to three, Okay? And if when I get to three, you haven't stopped doing what you're doing and started doing what I told you, I'm coming for you, okay? And so I'm going to say the first few times, it's miserable days of my life because the goal is to not to have to hit them, okay? So the thing, because it's miserable for me. So the thing too, so I start to count. One, two, three. Well, I like 100%, if I have to get to three, you better start running because I'm coming for you, okay? But I'd try to tell these mothers, and I'd see them, go, oh, would you stop it, little David, please stop. One, two, three. Well, little David, please stop. You can't do that because the kid's going to, he's going to play the odds he can still do it, okay?
Right.
Like I said, you have to do it, and because once they learn that without a doubt, when you get to three, that's it. It's over.
Playtime is over.
Know what you have to do from then on? All you have to do is go one, and you got what you want. Okay? You may have to occasionally reinforce it, but if you train them to know that when you get to three, your behind is mine. Okay? Because you have forced me to do this. I don't want to do it. I tried reasoning with you, but you made me do it. I'm at three. It's over. I'm done. Yep. The thing is, from then on, like I said, I'll have to just say, I'm going to get the bat. One. It's like, you know, that bit. Exactly. I come waving it out over my head, you know? And the thing is, if you can do this, but I see people waver. And please, Johnny, please stop it. It's like, you know, and that, well, he's going to give you one look and go, what are my odds, okay? So you have to do it where I hit three, your behind is mine. And I'm telling you, it does work where that way you don't have to. All you have to just go one, and it's over. Because they know you get to three, it's coming. You know, so that, to me, the goal is to get the objective. Now, there have been times, actually, I've been in, because not all teachers are saints, okay? And God forbid anybody ever strike my child. The thing is, and I have given my daughters, I gave them actually permission to disobey a teacher, because I'll never forget this. I was about in third grade, and there was something, you know, we look back now and really, there was something wrong with, I even remember her name. Her name was Sally. There was something wrong with her. She rarely spoke. Her hair was often dirty. And I remember that big puddle on the floor of the classroom where she peed all over herself, okay? And I'm sorry, sometimes urges happen, they don't happen at recess, okay? So the thing is, I told my daughters, I said, if you ever have to go to the bathroom and they will not let you, you go anyway and you come tell me and I'll deal with them. No way was I going to let my child be humiliated like that. So the thing is, you know, but common sense has to be used, but unfortunately, you know, there's not a lot of it. I've witnessed it repeatedly. A lot of people don't have common sense. And so the thing is, you know, because I know I had teachers that, like I said, you know, they should not have done stuff to me, okay? It was more psychological abuse, okay? But which in many people who have experienced both say, all right, I'd rather be beat, okay? So the thing is, a lot of these teachers, I'm sorry, they're not normal. So no way am I going to let somebody else make the judgment if my kid is going to be spanked or not. Unless we're miles away, far away, I have been called, I have been informed, I have spoken with the child, and then I give you my permission. But a blanket permission to hit my kid? No, that ain't happening. That is not happening, you know. So I think, you know, I wish there were simplistic ways on this because, unfortunately, some people are too damn stupid to use their head because, like I say, I've witnessed it. I've told people what to do. So encourage. One time she caught him beating baby birds with sticks. You know, I mean, they tell you that's the sign of, you know, something ain't going to turn out good with that kid, you know. And the thing is, to still not discipline, I'm sorry, I catch my kid doing that, that's when that would have been a fanny warmer, you know? So the thing is, I wish it was easy, but it's not, because I've seen it go too far one way and too far the other way, you know? So that's just
and
my
that's
input
the joy
on this spanking thing.
Yep, it's not easy. It is, yep, and all the more so these days. Anyway, we are going to have to move on. We got other calls, and I appreciate it, Renee. Thank you. As always, back to the phones. We're going to skip the break and go back to the phones and grab William in Montana. William, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you.
I was... I was been gone too. I've taken a big recess from the internet, and I'll tell you, I didn't lose anything as a result of it. Not a single thing. It was right there when I came back.
I was thinking about joking this morning. What did I miss? But obviously, yeah, to your point,
and,
not a thing.
You know, I remembered a quote from Aldous Huxley. And he said, here it is. Great is truth, but still greater, from a practical point of view, is silence about truth. By simply not mentioning certain subjects, totalitarian propagandists have influenced opinion much more effectively than they could have by the most eloquent denunciations.
Imagine that.
I have seen this with one of my pet peeves is Wikipedia. You know, they are masters, and I mean, it's happening faster than I can even document or watch, of removing truths.
Yeah.
You know, disappearing. I mean, they have this thing that appears often, and it says, this article needs additional citations for verification. Please help improve this article by adding citations to reliable sources. Unsourced material may be challenged and removed.
Which
and
is
that's like the death knell.
It used to be a fallacy of circular reasoning because teachers said that Wikipedia itself was not a reliable source. And so... Now, like, where does it end? What constitutes reliable source, you know? And
this article may require cleanup to meet Wikipedia's quality standards. I mean, quality standards. Are you kidding me? You know, and
yeah.
I've watched things disappear, and I see it every day, although, you know, I don't make Wikipedia my first choice, but I do use it as a way of taking the pulse, you know, of this. You know, totalitarian propagandists that actually, you know, what they do is they removed words so that you can't even think about doing something to correct their insidiousness. You know, you don't even have, you know, they're trying to create a population that can't even say something about how bad this process is of deluding us. And I'll tell you, I felt better after 2 weeks of just removing myself from the internet. You know, there's such things as books. You can actually read a book and actually have time to maybe digest the material that you're reading, and you can reflect, and you can sit back and take a look at the birds at the bird feeder, and I mean, there's a lot of ways that we can heal ourselves, from this process, and one of the ways is removing yourself from it.
Absolutely, and not listening to this nonsense or adhering to the gaslighting. You know, I would say, in what you were saying, you know, today, compliments largely of Ingrid Bergman's performance. We call it gaslighting, but. To me, I mean, is this ironic? You know, in what you're saying, I think of the example of Mark Twain, for example, and the way that his literature was attacked early on. William Faulkner called him the father of American literature, and he gets attacked. And certain words we can't use anymore, and now we see, you know, classic movies, same thing is happening, and they're not inherently offensive words, particularly, I would say. It's almost, it's like the Streisand effect. What was that word? I mean, what's so bad about that word? Anyway, Mark Twain, and what is ironic to me, Samuel Langhorne Clemens, the Wikipedia entry for Samuel Langhorne Clemens is Mark Twain. That to me is ironic. So his nom de plume is what Wikipedia, the not real guy, is who Wikipedia references. I think is
ironic. Yeah, as Huxley said, simply by not mentioning certain subjects, you know, by just basically disappearing them. I mean, even classic cartoons or Disney films. Are being, you know, put on the back shelf and new versions. So you go and you start Little Mermaid, or you go and you start, you know, saying, oh, I heard something about this great Disney film. And you go there and it's the new and improved version that basically eliminates, even from a cartoon, a feature-length cartoon, they eliminate certain subjects, you know. No longer, you know, and just like, you know, one word, one phrase, and all of a sudden that has been disappeared. I mean, think of the motivation and think of the cost of going to every little corner of our culture and removing things. I mean, that should show you, that should show everyone the insidiousness of this process. And, you know, should inspire us to action. I mean, this eventually, all these subjects that we hold dear will be removed. Even in the tiniest corner of, you know, no matter what we're talking about, you know, they will come and hunt this down to remove even the words that someone could use, you know, to rectify a situation that is detriment to everything that we hold dear.
Yep. Amen to that. You know, to that, I suppose the only thing I could say is, you know, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. So.
Well, if they can take your words and rearrange them, they can take your thoughts and rearrange them.
Yep.
And disappearing words is another way of disappearing thoughts.
Yeah.
That could actually be used to turn this thing around.
Forced
Thanks, Chris.
Disappearance.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, William. And always a pleasure. I appreciate it. Forced disappearance is another one of those, not just of people. Anyway. That'll do it for today's broadcast, and I hope it was interesting and informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.